Welcome back to another episode of If You Can't Handle the Heat, presented by Out of System. We have a very special day today for a very special person. You guys know him as G-Swizz. We know him as the crazy libero, or my brother. He is 22 years old today, Gage Worsley.
You still know him as G-Swizz, though.
G-Swizz, yeah, I still know him as G-Swizz, too. I don't call him G. Maybe I call you Swizz every once in a while, but I'll call you G.
Or, I've never called you G-Swizz.
I'll call you G. Well, or I go by many names. Frickin' libero.
Come on.
Man of many names.
The frickin' libero. Yeah, Joe, you want to give a little context behind that? Come on, libero.
In practice, when Gage just wasn't having a good practice day, or.
And in games.
I interpreted it as he just wasn't focused. Even, like, if he was super into it and he was like, then I wouldn't say anything. But for me, my expectations are high for Gage, and even he might not even realize that sometimes, to me, it might seem that he's not, like, dialed in or focused on games. If I just can tell, like, he's not there, like, mentally, then I'll get pissed off. I'll be like, come on, libero, and I'll start riding his ass. And if he, like, miss like, an easy play or something, I'm like, come on, libero, you gotta, that thing has to be, like, I'll ride his ass. So that's where that comes from.
Just to dehumanize him.
Exactly. Him a little bit. Really quickly here, let me give you a rundown of what's going on today and what we can get more into this and Gage's birthday. We're going to lead off to the top of the podcast with a couple stories we have of Gage. It is his special day, so we want to kind of highlight that. And people are always asking us for more stories, especially from Gage's childhood, and so he Mike and I have plenty of those.
It's a gold mine. Gage's childhood is an absolute gold mine,
and it's scarring yet beautiful.
And then we and we'll get into, you know, last week I wasn't sure how people were going to take us talking about, like, when we were really young and the grassroots of our career and what our lives are like, but people really liked it, and I got a lot of good feedback. I had guys actually Eric Shoji reached out to me and texted me like that. He loves listening. He's been listening to most of the podcasts, and a couple guys from Hawaii, and just people from all over. People DM us. They love the podcast, and so they liked what we were getting into. And, you know, right now, I think we're doing ourselves a disservice, because we do have one of our hosts is a 6-time national championship in Micah Ma'a. He won the junior national championships in the USA 6 times. You know, I get a lot of questions, even in Europe, about club volleyball and life as an American junior volleyball player. And so we're going to get into that a little bit, and what our lives are like in high school compared to others, and our recruiting process a little bit, and some other things I had noted down over this past week. I kind of jotted down some stuff. And then, of course, we're wrapping up with the pick'em. But we also have a hot take here, which I fit into the schedule from Gage. Gage has a big-time hot take. You guys all love that. So, but to start off here, you know,
Gage's hot take.
I think that needs to be,
I'm
like,
so hot right
a
now.
Weekly segment. So hot. The really quickly. So, Gage, get into your birthday. First of all, happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday, boy.
Happy birthday to the one and only.
Baby, it's your birthday.
It's your freaking birthday. It's
a birthday
celebration.
Fornication.
Like 3 different
birthday
songs,
fornication.
Like...
All right. Gage, really quickly, you know.
Did I just hear birthday fornication?
I'm done. Really quickly, Gage. You know, when I meet people, well, when we meet people, I should say, and when I talk to them kind of after, and sometimes even like down the road, even a guy, like old teammates that we played with, they'll tell this story or they'll tell this interpretation kind of years down the road. When I talk to people about you, and Mike has said this, his family said this as well, the first thing I hear is that you're the most interesting person they've ever met. The number one most interesting person they've ever met. I wanted to ask you why you think this is the case. I have my reasons, but for you, I think you have to have an answer for this in some sort of fashion.
I'll have an answer, I'll break it down, and then I'll have a story to go with it here.
Okay,
all right, so first things first.
Give us the synopsis, and then give us the...
Of course.
I don't even know, bro.
So, first things first, I have my comfort level is way higher than the average person. So, like, I will get really comfortable with you extremely quickly. And there's no subject I won't talk about, no matter who you are. And like my parents are like not definitely not like that, so they definitely get uncomfortable with me sometimes, especially when I'm older now where we can talk about more stuff, but still really not there yet. And I don't know, I just get really, really comfortable and I'm really out there and I believe that I'm a phenomenal storyteller. I'm comfortable with myself, comfortable with my body with the Libero diet. There's this one time Danny Wong, he's now third year freshman, but third year in the program. Comes on his recruiting visit. I was a freshman, and he comes on, and I remember, like, so guys don't know about the locker room. I don't think people really think about it. Like, for example, like, when you're in the locker room, you're all changing together, right? Everyone's not clothed in the locker room. They got a shower and everything, right? Because when you're in PE, it's like people dress really, really quickly, keep their underwear on. Not the case in the locker room and when you get to college and higher. So I just remember it was after practice. Danny comes in the locker room and he's like on his visit. We go out to practice. He comes in. All the guys are there. And I'm like having a conversation with him. And as I'm having conversation with him, I don't know this. He told me this later. It just like comes naturally to me. I remember I was undressing because I had to go take a shower. And then I remember he turned one way and I was just like, having a normal conversation, and I was just completely like butt-ass naked, just trying to like talking to him next to my locker, just like having a conversation with him, and he was so shocked. I remember he was like his eyes just lit. He was like, oh my god. And I don't think normally people would just have a conversation and just undress like that, but for me, I have no problem doing that. So I think that kind of wraps up where I am, where my comfort levels are, and like I said, I think I have some pretty crazy stories, ones that we'll get leaked here eventually as we keep doing this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I feel like I know you the best of anybody mm-hmm. else who would know you. I mean, maybe even more than our parents, for sure, like, because I'm around you all the time. Even in college, I think there's some really great stories in there. But, Micah, I want to ask you, you know, you had the opportunity. We'll get into this kind of part of our lives a little bit later as well. We were fortunate to have you come play with us, and that was your last of the six national championships when you came and played with us following your senior year of high school. That was your first really introduction to Gage, I believe. I'm trying to think, but what was your
that was because I had already known you.
Yeah,
I didn't know Gage. I don't think I knew Gage.
What was your initial
I met you after I showered.
Well, Michael, what was your we're gonna disregard
in this very chair right here. I'm not kidding.
Like, what was your initial, not react, maybe interpretation of Gage and your favorite story? Maybe not even your favorite, but one that people probably haven't heard before.
Wait, Gage, speaking about this, actually, I think that you texted me. Do you remember what you texted me? You texted me like, oh, I get comfortable very quick. I have a couple questions I want to ask you. And I'm like, what? And what you went and asked me like the most ridiculous questions, and you were talking about like your most embarrassing moments and stuff and all this. I don't remember what you... Gosh, my memory is so bad. I don't remember.
So before I met you, I reached out to you and I was like, hey.
Yeah, you texted me and I'm like, hey, I'm Gage. I get comfortable really quick. Like, and then you followed it up with such a ridiculous question. Something about like... I don't know. Maybe anal or something. Something like really, really, really out there. I don't remember what it was.
Still, I am not into that, so I don't know why I would say anything like that.
I'm dead serious. I am
currently
dead serious.
Still not. In the future, probably not going to be. So I don't know where that came from. Oh
no, I'm pretty sure that that's what it was. But my memory,
dude, I get so comfortable. Like, Jordan Ewert, he was our teammate for 3 days, and I punched him in the face. I don't know how we were fighting or something. I don't remember.
Okay,
I get comfortable quick. I don't know.
Okay, I've got a good story because I'm just gonna wing it. So, Gage, for those people that don't know, loves fireworks.
Yes.
And so, Joe's told me about it, and like he's told me about it, and how much that he loves fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a day off, which is extremely rare in the Worsley household, and we catch Bart to the city, San Fran, and we go to Chinatown. Uh-huh. And we're walking around, and Gage knows this place like the back of his hand. He's like, he's like walking fast, like take a left, take a right, take a left, take a right, and he knows exactly where he is. So we're just following him, and we show up in this store. And meanwhile, we didn't know this, but everything's covered up in the front. And I'm wondering, like, why would you cover up all your stuff with blankets? Like, if this is a store and you want to sell something, wouldn't you want, like, people to see what you're selling? Anyways, so we head into a store, and we go to the back, and the guy's like, hi, can I help you? And Gage is like, hey, is Ben here? Mm-hmm. And the guy's like, Ben, oh, no, Ben's not here. And he's like, oh, okay. And he's like, because I'm trying to get some fireworks. And the second Gage said fireworks, this guy literally lost his marbles. He's like, no, 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 no. Absolutely not. No fireworks. No fireworks. And we're all like, whoa, whoa, what the heck? So Gage is like, all right, the guy I know that sells me fireworks isn't here. We'll try another place. So we go around, and everyone's had the same reaction, like, just gotten really sketched out and really defensive. Later on, we find out that, like, that same week there had been a police raid. Literally, all these guys have gotten into huge amounts of trouble for selling black market fireworks and, like, black market a bunch of stuff. And so they maybe – and it's undercover cops that were doing it, so maybe they thought that we were undercover cops. But I just thought it was hilarious that, like, it's just such a random thing. Like, you guys don't live that close to San Francisco. And then for Gage to, like, know Chinatown so well, and for him to, like, know all these people by name, and, like, I don't know. It just is such a good story to describe you. I've had a lot of better stories, and I'm a really bad storyteller, but that one's the first one that popped into my head.
By the time I was 16 years old, I had a copious – I had a big – connection to the underground Chinatown firework black market.
Yeah, you were in.
I had. I knew the places. I knew the people. I was close with them. I had deep ties to the Chinatown black market, and I just went every week. No. Well, when I was growing my black market name
connection, your network,
aka the White Dragon. That's what I called myself. Yeah. And I would go, and I just kind of go up to the same person. I'd say, hey. I was like, and I'd go on a whisper, like, you guys got fireworks here.
Sometimes and they always would point to the tiny ones, and you're like, no, no. Yeah. I'm talking about the.
I'd be like, yeah, exactly.
We have like poppers.
Exactly.
And we're like, no, we don't want freaking poppers. Kidding?
Right. So by the end, I was like, no, 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 you know what I'm talking about. So what they do, sometimes they take you back, or sometimes they'd be like, okay, behind the counter. When no one's around, they go, here, I got this, I got this, I got this, right? And then I was, like, bargaining with them and whatnot, and that's kind of how I learned the trade. And I – because I think I told the story, but it's true. I was in there. Like, I was, like – there was, like – I was not a small part in this black market of fireworks. I was a big buyer, okay? Because I had –
a user.
I remember I would go every other week. In 2 weeks, I told you, I spent about $2,000 in 2 weeks on fireworks. I had and I worked for this money. This is money that I worked for, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I would literally like work, and then I'd go. I would take Bart in there by myself sometime. I take a friend or whatever, bring bags. I'm like, you know what to do. And then we'd spend the next night, all of us together, running from the cops that night. We'd light it up, just absolutely light the skies up, light it. We'd always make sure we're in like a big parking lot.
The cops took really long to get.
Well, yeah, there. I mean, like,
but it's such a Moraga's small place. A valley.
No, I mean, sometimes we went to Campo. Remember the last night we spent together? You guys remember the last night we spent together?
Yeah, Campo.
It was Campo. We started like, absolutely lighting mortars up.
No, I know, but they took so long to get there.
I just remember, yeah. But when they got there, I just remember, like, because, like...
No, that's a different time. What was the time where we ran into that hill and they used the spotlight and they found us? Oh, yeah.
There's so many times where... Well, that was a different... That was when we painted the rock. But don't worry, we weren't vandalizing. It's a known thing around Moraga. But, But yeah, man, there's so many times we ran from the cops. It just builds you together, you know what I'm saying? But by that time, Micah, that story you were talking about, by that time, I'd been out of the black China market of fireworks. I just kind of was like, hey, let's just see what is up. Because my dad had kind of busted me. I saw my connections, and I talked to my boy. He's like, yeah, they just raided us. Like, it was not good. Like, literally a week before, I was like, well, thank God I didn't come here.
Do you remember what else happened on that trip, Gage?
No. Oh, are you talking about
a couple more things happened.
The massages?
The massages and...
Oh, the store?
the store, and my scooter got stolen outside the store. Well, that did I find that scooter?
Oh, and then you guys went to that one place, right?
Yes, but who's?
You want to get into that? We can get into that.
wait, whose scooter was that? Because I found a. Was that your guys' scooter that got stolen?
It's from our house. No. It was from our house, wasn't it?
It was from your house? Yeah. I feel like I found that. We I didn't found bring that it. On Bart.
No. We No.
I did not bring it. That on. I did not bring that there.
I think you did.
I'm pretty sure I did not.
And really quickly, Mike, I told Gage this. We've got a lot of questions about team bonding. What did we do for team bonding in Hawaii and ideas for team bonding? And this is 100% the best form of team bonding. Running from the cops and blowing up fireworks. This brings you together the fastest.
We would spend all day together, and then at night we go light some stuff up. Be like, Dad, we're going. And I think he knew by then or something. I'm not really sure.
Flashlight tag was another good one.
Yeah, there'd be times where we literally fit like 12 guys in a normal car, not even SUV, and we just get out of there.
That's right. We would, oh my gosh, we'd go do crazy stuff. We had one time. For some reason, there was this group of guys that was so mad. They were throwing hot dogs at my car. I don't remember, like, you have bags of hot dogs.
No, yeah, team bonding, it just can't be something that you organize and plan, it's like, oh, let's go do a team bonding. Like, that just, I don't know. I've never enjoyed those as much as, like, what's been so nice for us. Even earlier in my life, it's like, you're living with the people you're playing with. And when you're living with kids and you're as stupid as we are, you get so many unbelievable stories and that just builds your relationship like no other organized event could, you know? 100%. And I do understand that that's not very helpful because not everyone's going to live like with their team or like not everyone's going to have the opportunity to kind of do some of these things, especially with today and like how
yeah, we are not
Nazi everybody is about literally everything and
another thing,
not as likely.
We are not condoning any firework usage right now, especially in California. We did do it in a very safe setting. I still have fireworks right now. I'm not kidding. The drawer next to me, I still have a couple mortars. I have a bunch of firecrackers. I have a huge bag of fireworks still that I'm not using anytime soon, I'll tell you that. Not in California, at least. But yeah, it reminds me of the good old days.
Oh, for sure. Memorabilia.
So... You heard it. Gage
That's
will not
my story.
Be lighting.
That went a lot of different ways.
Gage will not be lighting off any fireworks. Well, there's plenty of stories that come down the road with more topics that we have planned.
I want to clarify Gage. The massage thing. We did not get massages. I want to throw that out there because when you put
my God,
Chinatown
don't be.
And massa-
just go ahead and say it. Just say no, what
you
were
looking
for. When
you put Chinatown and massages together. There's a lot to be that's inferred. Nobody had received a massage, so I want that is a fact.
You were
I
looking
throw
for
that out there.
Okay, we had a bet. I'm just gonna say what it is. We had a bet.
What is it? What was it?
We weren't gonna go through with this. We were not gonna go through with this. But we had a bet. We're like, okay, if we can, we're gonna try and find in Chinatown a massage parlor with a happy ending. No, again, we weren't gonna go through with it. We weren't gonna go through. There's a lot of stuff that happened
that
day.
I remember trying to barter them down, but I remember them being so upset. Just like the fireworks,
they got so upset.
I think there had been a raid on it on that too, because when we brought that up, they were so unhappy. They immediately kicked us out, and we were like trying to barter them down.
That same day we went, we saw this like. As any 16 to 18 year old, you see like a sex store, you're like, oh, we gotta go in. So we go in, and then we get kicked out for having a sword fight with some of the props in the store.
It was when they weren't looking, I would chuck that thing across the room and try and hit one.
That thing was huge, dude. Huge.
I remember that poor lady. Every time she'd turn around, she'd just hear like something fall, like crash into the damn aisles, and she'd look at us, and I'd be like, "Don't look at me,
dude." We got kicked out of there too, and then, well, I won't get into that. I won't get into the next thing.
So, yeah,
but anyways, enjoy your club years. It's the funnest years that you'll ever have playing volleyball.
The funnest years.
It's not even close. And enjoy freaking being kids, man. I'm still trying to be a kid. I'm still trying to get into stupid stuff.
You're like 23, dude. You're a kid.
No, exactly. But, I mean, you know what I mean. Like, it's a little bit different here. When
we're out of college. All succeeding in that category, I'll tell you that, of being a kid.
So we're going to wrap up this first segment here about Gage's birthday. We have so many more stories about Gage that'll be coming in future segments. We have a lot of ideas about what we want to do, and plenty of Gage stories are tied into there. So we have plenty more to go that where that came from. Gage, it's time for your hot take. You sent me a message earlier today. We have a hot take, supposedly, from you.
Yes, sir.
I want you to introduce to the audience exactly what you read about this week that fired you up so much.
Well, first things first, I didn't read anything. It's just because Micah and I and you have actually had this conversation. You guys it was a long time ago. I don't know if you remember it. I just kind of remembered it. I was like, we each have our own good arguments. I want to go to what is the hardest position in volleyball? And then I want to go, do you think that, or we'll go into what's the most important and what's the hardest position in volleyball? Any takers?
I think Mike and I are pretty biased, and Mike and I will agree on this because the setting position is the only position where you're judged on perfection. I might be wrong about that.
Is being a setter for sure.
Why? Because perfection wise?
Yeah, it's not close for me. I think setting is the hardest position for sure.
I always thought this is not like physical, but like, I don't know, like, I used to think middle, especially in the international game, because there's so much just, like, going on when you have to, like, deal with, like, a tricky setter and really good hitters. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But they're only in three plays or three rotations.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, are they? But liberos are also based on perfection, but they only have two jobs. You know what I'm saying?
No, they're not based on perfection, no.
I don't know. Like, if you shank a ball or two, you're considered having, like, a bad game for the most part.
No. Not if you play well the rest of the game. You play well, play good defense.
Yeah, well, same thing. Like, if you make two bad sets and then you do
no,
well
no,
the rest
okay,
of the game.
Okay, so where, if you were to pass the ball not perfectly, okay, would the setter then turn to you and say, hey, can you put that pass a little bit more on the net and 3 feet lower and kind of give it a nice apex for me?
I would definitely get better.
Definitely
pass
not.
The net.
Definitely
not that
dude.
Specific, but yeah.
The other thing is, there's sometimes if there's a tough server on the line, literally like your job, your like coaches
right.
will train you just
your
to
job
play
is to
the ball,
ball
in,
the air.
In the air.
Same
anywhere.
Thing with the offset out of system
no.
set. Same thing. You
no.
put it high
not
around
the,
an area.
The higher level you
no,
go,
not
no.
true.
The higher level you go, that's
not true
at all.
So you're telling me if you're like you said, same thing. We have no if I'm a libero, right? I'm just chucking the ball straight in the air. Same thing. Let's say the ball's at the back line. They're telling you to put it in this I'm
talking the
there's
you
no
have
way.
To
they're
make
definitely
a good
putting
out of system set.
Around this
yes.
area right here.
No on matter what net, you get, you need to set it well.
Right, set it well. And it inside
no
set
matter
high
what
ball
you get,
inside
you don't
set's
have
a good
to pass
set.
It. You don't have to pass it well. You need to put it up.
Gage, yeah. I think, to be honest, this is one thing that's even, like, at the professional level, it's even a step further because it's literally a game of, like, you set a ball a half a foot to a foot off the net against a really good blocking team. Like, you F over your hitter, and it's really hard to score in certain – where in college, like, you can still get away with setting the ball a couple more feet off the net. In, like, over here professionally, that's one thing that I think is different is that the – or not different, but – I would say not. I don't even know if challenging is the right word, but you have to be so accurate, even out of system setting, because that half a foot to foot off the net can totally screw over. Because it takes away even more angles for the hitter to be able to attack, and it's tough to score because teams are so good at defending poor sets. I think at this level.
Okay.
Well, yeah, and just to go just for the perfection thing. So setters, even from a young age. Like, is the only position that gets constant feedback from the other players about how the ball should be played. So if an attacker spikes out, you're not anybody. Not everybody's going to that attacker and saying, "Okay, spike that ball 6 inches left and 12 feet, and like a foot more inside." Like, no, he made a mistake. He spiked out.
Who's measuring in inches,
dude? When you're a setter, that's what you get. Oh, can I get
someone
this
says
a foot
you 6 inches
some,
lower?
No. Half but let's be realistic. You get where it's one ball. And
right,
one ball
like
means
higher,
basic,
lower, a little more outside, no, nothing like
oh, I,
3 centimeters this way.
When I'm telling you right now, when you're at in the USA gym, it comes down to literal inches. Like, oh, can I get this a half a ball higher? It's like, okay, how big's a ball? It's not a foot, and so that means that half of it
is
6 inches.
That's a good question.
Do you know what I'm saying, though, Gage? How big?
Right,
a ball?
But what? Okay.
And so when somebody says, "Oh, can I get that half a ball higher? Can I get it a little bit faster?" And
they don't
a little
actually
bit
mean half a ball exactly, though.
They literally mean that, and I'm being dead serious.
You want to know a funny thing, Micah? I don't know if I ever told you this, but you would always ask us about our offense at Hawaii. You'd always ask me about this, and Milan worked with the hitters and the setters. I think the most out of any of the coaches. And the one thing he always talked about with the speed to the ball to into area four with our outsides is he didn't care about like he's the one coach like I've worked with where it didn't have to be like exactly in this spot. He just wanted it speed. He cared about the speed and the height of the ball, and the hitter, he would always just have the hitters like, you need to be fast and attack into the hands fast to go block out. Like, he's teaches right. That so like, and he didn't really care as much about like the ball's here or half foot here. He put it on the hitters. Like, if you set it fast and in this position, they need to score this ball. And that's actually, for me, when I would watch film, it's like, yeah, if it's like a half foot or a half foot there, like, there's still so much room for hitters to score on. And as a setter, to be honest, that's where, like, hitters gain trust is when you set it. And even if you mistake a little bit, they still, like, bail you out. The hitters that go and make errors on sets that are a little off, drives me nuts. I don't know about you, Micah. But it's like they make an error and they come back at you. It's like, dude, you got to do something better with the ball
right.
than that.
So, Gage, I'm curious. Let me say something. I want to hear what Gage thinks. So,
thank
Gage,
you.
What? Yeah. So explain
I'm gonna
to
go
us how
to the,
you
I'm,
think it's not the set.
I'm going to go think about the outsides and the right sides here, right?
Okay.
Pin position, pin hitting, right? You have – okay, what happens, like you said, the older you get, the higher the level, the better they get, right? So what happens when you're like Leon or – any right side, or I know he's an outside, but any great right side that has to be the garbage man to bail everyone out on not a good set. What if you have, you're saying, okay, I need to hear. I don't think Leon's saying, hey, give me a half ball higher. He's just saying, put it in this area and I'll take care of it.
No,
you know what
sure.
I'm saying?
No,
at that level, that is extremely hard. If you're a right side, you're the garbage man. They're chucking that ball up. And if you don't score, you're not getting your money. You're not getting paid.
Yeah, but Gage, this
you're
is
not
like,
getting your spot.
Gage, the saying in baseball is you go 1 for 3 and you're in the Hall of Fame. It's the same thing for hitters. You could literally, if you're not airing, if you hit 1 out of 3 kills, then that's a really good game. You have a really good percentage and like you're one of the top scorers in the league. But if you go 50%, if you score 50% of your balls, that's still pretty damn good percentage for opposite hitters. And for setters,
that makes sense. That position is an extremely hard position. The garbage man is an extremely hard position. But that doesn't happen like every single play, and there's other players that can take the load off of you. So if you're a right side and you're not scoring, you can easily say, hey, set the ball to the left side in the outest, and if it's a bad ball, give it to the left side. I'm struggling right now. Get me a few good balls in system so I can get my groove back, and then I'll be hot, and then you can give me whatever you want. As a setter,
right.
I don't get to say, "Hey, I'm not feeling my set right now. Could you set this ball as a libero? You set the ball. I don't want to set it, and I'll take the easy ones, and then let me find my rhythm, and then I'll be back in. I'll set."
But what's harder, scoring on a huge triple block against the best blockers in the world, or putting the ball or setting the ball, right? And it doesn't have to be perfect every time, but in a location. I would say that scoring on a huge block against some of the best blockers in the world is harder than having to set the ball in a location. Maybe not in some plays, or some plays is harder than others, but I would say that
really
that is way harder.
They're both really
right. You
difficult.
Have to do it every time, but the one is way harder.
Yeah, it's especially harder the garbage to score the ball. But like Joe said, it's not a hit or miss as a hitter. It's like, okay, I can work the ball into the block. We can give it to their setter. We can, yeah, go for high hands. And if I miss, I miss. Not everyone's like, oh, you're an idiot. It's like, okay, next point. As a setter, if you miss, everyone looks at you like, dude, what are you
doing? Yeah, but when a setter misses you a lot of the time, it's not like you're just going right through your hands. You're going to put it in a decent spot. If we're talking about high-level volleyball here, when a setter misses, if they're missing, like you said, if you want to talk about inches, they're missing by inches. And if those hitters are still able to hit that ball at a high level. Good outside or right side or a garbage man, is like we're referring to, they'll be able to hit that freaking ball. And then they got to hit that ball.
Yeah,
and it's not like they're pointing at the setter. They're going to point at you for not scoring the ball.
No, that's not really no. I don't think that's really how volleyball works. I don't know why, but the blame usually goes on the setter. And yeah, with really, really hard balls, the pressure's no longer on the setter as much. Then, like you say, the setter just needs to give a hittable ball. Like if you're at the back line, you just give a hittable ball. But anything within the court that's needs some tempo and needs that kind of speed, or like not just to throw the ball up there and let the big guy do the work. Then the blame comes back onto the setter a lot of the times.
I'll say this.
Gage, you never even told us what you think is the hardest position.
I'd say the most dominant pin hitter on your team. The garbage man.
That's the hardest position to be.
I would say so. Let me clarify this. At a high level, I'm talking about the Perusas, the Leons of the world, the Lucarellas of the world, right?
Yeah, to include the women.
And the women. Who's the best women's player? Lefty on Serbia. Who's that lefty on Serbia?
No, not the lefty on Serbia. What's her name? From
South Korean outside?
Yeah, that girl's legit. That girl's legit.
The outside on China. No, who's the best player in the world? Who's the best girl? I thought it was really obvious. I forgot who it was.
I think the Chinese player and the South Korean player are really legit. Yeah,
probably the top.
I think it's the Chinese player.
Yeah.
So, she's sponsored by Under Armour, which is pretty cool. Anyway, back to it. I'll say this. Clarify. If you are at a high level, and you're the garbage man, right now you're facing high-level front row defense, high-level back row defense. I would say that is hardest position. Now, the lower you go, yes, okay, the harder I would say a setter is. But for me, when you're at that high level and you say, hey, throw it in this area right here and I'll score.
That's not true. Defense is so strong. Even the top hitters, like, they need good setters. You look at any
set in an area. Their hitter's box is so big, though.
Yeah, for
a hitter's window.
Yeah. I mean, you're just talking about high balls. No, okay. I mean, I have to respect that. It's a difficult position for sure to score the ball when you're just getting all these trash balls. It's really, really hard. So I understand that.
I don't mean trash, though. It doesn't have to be trash. You
can look at teams right now in the professional world and see why that's not. Look at a team like Piacenza. In my eyes, Piacenza should be top half of the league. And they've been losing everything because their setter is, compared to the rest of the league, is pretty average to below average.
Who are the hitters?
Aaron Russell, Klevno, and Grozer on the right side.
Grozer.
It's like it's a pretty accomplished set of hitters.
I'll also say this.
All the teams that win the championships in all the top leagues have the top setters. Period.
And the hitters. Top hitters too.
I know, but there's teams with top hitters. You have other teams who sign top hitters, but they don't have one of the top setters. And so it's not even close.
I think the most influential on the game is the guy that you're talking about. Gage is the high volume hitter, the guy that gets a lot of the balls. He has the most impact on the game, especially I think if you're a left side because you're also in receive. I think left sides are the most influential a lot of the times. But the most difficult, I think, is definitely being a setter. And I've, like, not to say, like, oh, wow, I've played. But, like, I've played both positions at a pretty high level.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say this. And it's like night and day how difficult like the difficulty level for me is like literally night and day. Like setting is like tremendously harder. It's not even close for me. From when I'm right. playing them, I'm like, dude, set, because everybody relies on you. Everybody needs you to be really, really good. If you're not right. playing super well as a left, that's fine.
Yeah, but if you have no one to set to, if you have someone to set to, you're best player, then don't even need a set. Then
yeah, but Gage, in the world, there's only a handful of teams where you have elite level hitters like the top teams in Italy or the top teams in Russia. Everywhere else, like, it's very important to have a good setter. Because there's not a big difference between some of the hitters in the league. It's like it literally depends on who usually has the top setter.
I will admit, I do have a biased opinion. I have not played professional volleyball. I'm in a definitely lower tier when it comes to college. And in college, I'd say definitely you can get away with not having a great setter but having good hitters. So I will say that my opinion is still forming, and I'll have to wait till I'm professional to make a final.
No, I think your opinion's completely fine. Like, I think true, but and I think I mean, we're all forming our opinion. It's hard. It's super hard to be that volume guy, but I don't think it's as difficult, if that makes sense. I don't know. And like you said, it's like, in college, you can get away. I don't think the setter is as influential. I think if you do have a stick, then the setter doesn't really matter as much. You're just going to give him a lot of balls. So I think that guy is the most important because he scores points. He's in receive, which is one of the most important things with serving. So he has the most impact on the game if he's just getting a lot of balls. But it's so hard to give such a good ball consistently over and over and over and over again.
Right. I mean, like I said, I mean, I will have to see as I go along to really form, to play it. Well, hopefully I get to play at the highest level.
I think there's a few things you'll see once you get over here for sure.
That's fair.
You recognize fair. Fast.
No disrespect to the setters out there, Joe and Micah.
Hey, if we want to get into it, we can talk about how libero's. They don't have to jump. No, I'm kidding.
I will say
I hate playing. I could not play libero. I will say that.
Like libero for me. I go crazy when I play libero. Oh my gosh.
Crazy in a bad way?
No, I go crazy in it. Well, I've never had to play libero where like the game's on the line. I'd probably go crazy if the game's on the line and I can't do anything about it. But when it's for fun,
it drives you
man,
crazy.
I'm literally trying to run as much as I can. I'm covering everybody. I'm doing the most when I'm libero.
You got it. But then sometimes it's all for nothing because your team can't score.
No,
I'm
exactly.
serious.
No, I'll admit, it can be frustrating. For sure.
Yeah, that's annoying.
For sure.
That's why
and
it's nice being a libero
can understand that
a
little bit too, where we're like, where you give the ball to like four different players on like a lot of different times and like you're not finding a solution to get out of a rotation and you're like, dude. Especially like probably like Joe and guys that have had some experience hitting, you're like, man, I wish I was freaking hitting right now.
Bro. I can't even serve, I can't even block, I can't even dump.
That's right. That's crazy. But I guess can't I could serve.
Yeah. But women can, and I don't know why that's the rule. But yeah, I mean it can be that's what I say. Just make sure you're a libero on a good team so you don't wanna slam right. your head through a freaking
man, being
wall.
A libero but, on a team that just can't put the ball away, that's like living in torture. That's like waterboarding.
Imagine being a libero on a team, like a coach's mentality is to like tip and roll shot, like chip around. It's like,
oh
dude,
my God.
Hit the damn
you
ball.
You make it an unbelievable up, and we get a good set, and they tip. I would be furious.
Dude, it drives me nuts how when guys like to just tip, 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 tip. I'm like, dude, hammer, break the damn fingers and go. Like, dude, take a swing like a man. Go rip. There's chicks I've seen that are more aggressive than guys I've played with at times. I'm like, dude, come on.
Hey, but sometimes it's like, I mean, Zox is a good example of how like that kind of ball works too, man. If you commit to a system and you, but at the same time,
they score a lot on it.
When the time's right, they take cracks.
For sure. Dude, but they score a lot on those plays, too. It's not, there's a difference
between...
It's
so hard to block. It's so hard to block line on a triple block when the guy's just, like, barely touching it into your hands, and you're trying to be as small and disciplined as you can be.
Yeah. Dude, tell me about it.
Well,
you know, the I think that was a good top for today, Gage. That went longer than I was expecting. We're actually gonna save the second part of the podcast that I had planned for next week, because this extended long today, and so we're gonna save the talk to this about the 6-time national champion and all of our lives in high school till next week. We do have to get to pick 'em, and last week Micah definitely benefited from the COVID pandemic, because yet another match gets canceled, and so Micah's pick last week, he went with Lube over.
Hold I went on. Trento.
He went Trento. Excuse me. So he was actually wrong. I miscalculated that. He went with Trento. They lost. Gage and I were right with Lube. I picked 3-1.
Oh gosh, damn it, dude!
I misread that.
Stoked. I'm like, finally,
you're like Michael Scott. They did all that they could.
So Micah
and she's gonna win.
Oh my God.
I miscalculated that. My bad.
Wow.
That's on me.
Way to butter him up,
so I picked up 2 points. Gage picks up 1 point. Mike ends with 0 because the Suvalki-Zaxa game gets canceled due to the pandemic. And so I think those would have been easy points for both Micah and I. Gage, I think, went with Suvalki. Mike and I
with
Zaxa.
I'm my insiders.
So Micah definitely did not benefit from the COVID. I'm sorry for that. But this week, I have 2 matches. I think Gage is going to have our last match. We'll wrap up with him on the pick'em. But the first, we're going with 2 leagues we haven't really picked from. We picked from Super Cup in one of these leagues, but we have the French and the German League, both leagues, which Mike and I are participating in. We'll start with the German League today. Micah, we're giving you first pick.
No.
I don't know how familiar you'll be.
I'm so not familiar.
You'll be more familiar with than Gage's, because Gage will actually.
I know everything. What Gage, is it? You guys don't know anything. Amateur hour.
Gage is related to one of the players on this team. So we have Lüneburg and Buhl. I try to pick the best matchup from what I looked at, like the most competitive matchup. Lüneburg has 3 Americans, 2 that we know really well, Dalton Solberg and Jordan Ewert, Gage's brother-in-law. And
that is very true. And actually, he's related to somebody that you're not.
And actually, Micah, the reason I saw Buhl was because I picked this matches. Actually, the Buhl team has a lot of those guys that came when we were training with the German youth national team when a lot of those guys actually play for that team now. And so you would actually know some of those players if you saw the team. But Micah, we're going to start with you between Buhl.
You're going to put me first? I'm in last place. That's not how this works. I thought first pick has to be
loser.
First place.
We go first every week, so you have to go first this week.
Come on, Micah. Don't steal my picks.
I mean, I take some picks first, but not the first pick. Usually all the right, first pick.
Fine. Micah, I'll go. All right. Gage is in first place. Gage, you got to.
There you go. There you
yes,
go.
Yes.
With all your knowledge, show me which direction to go.
I talked to my brother.
Who wins and in sets?
I'm going Lüneburg. In 5. I talked to my brother-in-law. I talked to RDD Dalt. And let's say it's going to be an absolute schmetterling of a game. But Lüneburg's going to go on top. 3-2.
All right. I'm going to go Lüneburg 3-1.
That's why you're in second. So.
And I'm going to go. I need some big points, huh?
You need some big points, yeah.
but I don't know about it.
We have so. Lüneburg and Buhl. All
right, I'm going Lüneburg 3-1. I'm following Gage. I mean, I'm following Joe.
Okay.
It's your league.
Okay. I trust you. Micah, you have to lead off of this one now because it's your league, the French league.
Yeah.
Caen and Tourcoing this week.
Oh,
we have
super good game.
Taylor Averill is going to be playing, or not going to be. He is playing for Caen this year. Middle blocker from the University of Hawaii, U.S. national team. He's playing in Caen this year. Micah, you got first pick here on the French league matchup.
Wow. That's a really good game. I didn't realize they were playing.
I only picked the best.
Tourcoing, 3. Wait. Where is the game? That matters actually a lot.
I think it is in. Who gets listed first usually?
The home team's first.
Okay, then in con.
Wow, okay. Wow. Okay, I'm going to switch it. I'm going to go with con 3-2.
Wow. I'm going to say...
I think that's 1 versus 2. I think those teams are first and
second. I'm going to Kwong 3-1. Gage?
Kwong 3-0.
Enchanté, Kwong. Hit the Kwong. Hit the Kwong.
I have a crazy statistic. So, our opposite's in the top 5 of scoring. And so he was telling us who else is in the top 5. And the middle from Turquan, which is Loser, which we both know. We've played him. Yeah, Loser. We've played him for a while since we were what, 17?
Yeah.
And he plays with Sanchez, and they are a deadly combo. And Loser is in 4th in the entire French league in scoring as a middle.
That is ridiculous. I mean,
the other 4 players are opposites, like normal. And this guy's in 4th. I think he's got, I don't know how many points, maybe like 67 or something like that. Without a mistake and without getting blocked.
Jesus.
And you this entire season hasn't made one mistake and hasn't been blocked one time. And it's in the top 5 of scoring in an entire league as a middle.
And people have to realize, as a middle, you only play 3 rotations. See, you're missing out on 3.
Yeah, and you only get passes that are like available to set you.
That's ridiculous.
Or digs.
That's so like, ridiculous.
You don't get any high balls. You don't get anything from maybe, I don't know, 4 meters. I mean, this setter's pretty gnarly. So 4 meters, 5 meters and out, you don't get anything. You don't get a lot of transition stuff, just the pass and with you not being available. And this guy is in 4th without a single – how do you not make one mistake? How do you not hit out by like a couple inches?
Dude, now you jinx them. This week he's going to just like
– Mike is a big inches guy, huh?
Hey, it's a game of inches. Life is a game of inches. Come on.
You
now.
Stole that. You stole that
now.
From.
I came up with that
what is
myself.
That? No, what
I
is
came
that?
Up with that myself.
No, you didn't. It's Al Pacino's speech.
Dude, come on. Yeah. It's
every
it's
any given Sunday.
It's called quoting. It's not stealing. It's a quote, you know.
Sampling.
Oh, I like sampling.
Sample.
So,
but
Gage.
Yeah, that's just a crazy stat.
That's ridiculous. Now you jinxed him. He's going to have just. This
and
weekend,
he's undersized, he's hitting... too. It's not like this guy's a monster. He's like 6'6".
This weekend, he's going to hit negative now that Mike has spoke on this.
Dick.
We'll see.
Gage, you got the last match?
Yeah. The only match, like top 10 match of the week, it seems, that didn't happen already. Kentucky, number 3. Hey, let's give a round of applause to Kentucky because they, for the first time, they were ranked number 3. They were 0-0, and they got 2 victories, so they're 2-0. Round of applause, Kentucky, for solidifying your 3 spot. Congratulations. Versus number 7, Missouri, who I think lost a match. So it's 3, Kentucky versus 7, Missouri. I'm going to go Kentucky 3-1 here versus Missouri because Missouri has one big outside. She's kind of a beast. She'll lead him through a game. Garbage, man.
Garbage, man. I'm taking Kentucky, too, since we had the set of her Kentucky Madison Lily take over our Instagram. I have to give her a shout-out. And I'm going Kentucky 3-2.
I'm going Kentucky 3-0.
Wow. He needs some big points.
Come on, baby. Come on, Wildcats. Come on,
Wildcats. The picks are in for this week.
I need you, Calipari. Get in there and coach them up.
No, you don't want him to choke in the end.
Coach Cal. he's great in the regular season.
I'll tell you what. One thing. I know this is not a basketball podcast, but Kentucky may not win a spot lately. They're always going to be like top 15, top 10. But they get people ready for the NBA. It's unreal. It's unreal. I'm serious. Look at the top players right now. They were okay in like college, not big numbers, and then they go to the NBA, and then bam, they're just balling. I don't know why. All right, that's all I got to say about that. Joe, oh, you're sorry.
Gage, as we wrap up here, it is your birthday. What do you have planned here before we sign off for this episode?
My
mom birthday.
Gave me some cookie dough, so I'm going to go eat some cookie dough, and then going to go eat some cookies.
Oh, my gosh, that sounds so good.
And then I'm going to go to In-N-Out for lunch, and then I'm going to go coach, and then I'm going to have some tri-tip, and I think that's it. I'm really simple. I like training.
What does
morning.
He have planned? He just gives you his meals.
Bro, that's literally all I got.
In-N-Out and tri-tip. The rest of it does not matter to me.
My mom's tri-tip is so freaking good.
Cookie dough is so good. I don't get why people cook cookies. Cookie dough to make cookies. Dude, the cookie dough is way better.
You know they sell cookie dough? Like, is ice cream? I went to an ice cream parlor, but it was cookie dough.
Oh, I didn't know that. But I know that they sell cookie dough.
Baby, it's your birthday.
I didn't know that they sell it, like, at, like, an ice cream parlor.
Yeah. Well, it's like, scoops. Like, it's literally scoops, but it's just cookie dough instead of ice cream.
All right, Gage.
I'm trying to get Cookie Man to sell some cookie dough.
Should.
The Cookie Man. Should. It's your birthday, baby. All right, we're signing off here. This has been...
Happy birthday, Gage.
Nice voice.
It's your birthday. That sounded like a song for some reason. We're signing off here. If you can't handle the heat, you know what to do. Get out of the kitchen. This is Out of System with another episode. Thank you all. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you next week.
Yeah. You can handle the heat. Yeah. You can handle the heat. Yeah. Out of System, you can handle the heat.